The Sunday Skypers. Atlanta, the Far Thief. While many gamers feel nostalgia for D&D, the games I have felt the most nostalgia for are Arcanum and its Atlantean world, and Talislanta, which are both originally published by Bard Games and created by Stephen Michael Cechi, whose Talislanta music you can hear clips of throughout this episode. And while there are a million D&D actual play recordings, I've not found any Talislanta, and there should be, so I guess I have to be the one to do it. And here's its first episode. Now, Talislanta is a different world than your typical fantasy world. There are no dwarves or elves or really even actual humans, so I apologize for any time I don't give enough exposition on the world or races as we encounter them. I'll try to do better in the future. But I can at least give an introduction to the characters. Ari's playing Vana, a Jaka Gaudin pirate. Jakas look like anthropomorphic panther wolves. John's playing Sukrad, a Sunra, who are semi-aquatic fish people. Todd is playing Valentine the Dashing, a Xandir duelist. Xandir are more or less human-looking with sort of copper cinnabar skin. Wilhelm plays Zamul, a Farad slaver and follower of a god he believes to be the god of his people. Farad are also more or less human-looking with flint gray skin. Zamul also has a couple personal slaves. Jivez, his valet slash caregiver. He's a Mandalan, or human-looking, golden skin, shaved head. And Trog, his big, dumb, Fatrian boy, or big, muscular, yellow skin, matted green hair. So in this episode, first up, are bits of character creation and backstory on how this mess all came together, followed by actual play. For anyone familiar with Tal, I'm looking to run it a little more rules light, since that's the games we've been playing and what I've been GMing most recently. So borrowing from Fate and the Apocalypse Engine, our first conflict in this episode is particularly light and narrative, so we could get through it quickly and get the characters together. And as I'm the only one in the group who's familiar with Talislanta, our version will certainly vary from other versions. I hope at least somebody who listens to this will be interested in Talislanta and give it a try. If you want to get right to the actual play, jump to about the 59-minute mark.
Let's see. Well, one of the things on the agenda, I guess, is, see, how do you pronounce it? Do you pronounce it Talislanta?
Yes.
It is huge and thick and, wow, gee whiz. It's like, yeah, I've like got my tongue stuck on the iceberg going, this is rather nice.
Well, you don't have to know everything to play it.
Indeed. You know, I figure it's like any big fantasy thing or John Carter of Mars, like you start in a corner somewhere and then work your way out.
Yeah, that's why deciding on a general kind of game we want, like you've so far I've been proposing a sea adventure.
Right.
Okay, well then that kind of narrows it down to what area we want to play in.
And that is amusing. I mean, the more I've been flipping in the books, the more I realized, like, yeah, that's really not paring down anything. It's just as detailed as any other no. Land or region.
It means you, like, well, I don't need to necessarily read up on, the desert kingdoms or the frozen north or...
Well, I mean, those were other examples that I figured, you know, that spoke to me anyway. So, like, the deserts were all like, you have your tomb robbers and you have your weird Talislanta-type red deserts with
dune ships and...
And weird lizards and red people.
And green people. And many hues. Probably the simplest way to just sort of start and get your first exposure and ideas would be if you looked at the fifth edition and just kind of flip through the races and see if anything there piques your interest.
I've got it to the pretty pictures part.
Well, that can do it too, because you're like, oh, that guy looks cool. Let's see.
Well, yeah, I think that was one of the points in the article I linked to. I think at least Harper said that the races are really just they can be boiled down to two sentences and a cool picture.
Damn it, why did he do that?
Well, you know, like, you know, you have your red Martians and your green Martians and your so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And you can probably boil them down to two sentences as well. So you get the flavor. I was drawn to the Xandir vaguely puerile inability to control themselves. So I figured that was excellent. That was like, yes, you know, this is the type who's, he just can't help himself. It's just so lovely and excellent and interesting and intriguing and mysterious. Let's yes, of course, let's pact with this horrible flame thing, demon god personification. I thought that was excellent. That really worked.
Yeah, well, if you want a smaller text describing things, you can go to the fourth edition archetypes, and there's basically a paragraph or two for all the archetypes. So that's easier, I guess, maybe to just flip through and see something. Oh, this looks interesting. Let's read him.
I like the idea of a thrall from Taz. I just don't like the idea of being a thrall from Taz. It's like, wow, so you're a tattooed warrior. What are your other choices? Tattooed warrior female. Really? That's it? That's the choices?
Yeah, you're also a tattooed warrior female who looks like all the male tattooed warriors, since they all look alike except for gender.
Well, they're tattoos. They have different tattoos.
Right. Oh, that's how they differentiate themselves. Yeah. But that's the fun, quirky bit, too. You play your Jaffir merchant / robber, and that's what you are. You know, it becomes your class.
Like fifth gives you a little more customization.
True.
Because some people didn't like that there wasn't enough customization.
Archetypes. Ah, jeez Louise. Okay, I thought I was going to narrow it down. I'm on page one, and there looks like there's only 70 or so, I'm guessing, archetypes.
Well, I mean, it covers the entire continent, so yes. That's something as well.
So I'm just reading through all of these and going like, holy cats. It is really like kid in a candy store, because you read that and you're like, okay, that's cool, and that one's cool.
Unfortunately, I was going for something fairly specific, so for me it was like, oh, this is out, this doesn't work, oh, that's unfortunate.
Is it any surprise that every time I see a race that looks interesting, it says NPC next to it? It's like, what?
Well, depending on what you're looking at, that may or may not be true. Maybe something that's perfectly fine to play.
In your past experience as a Talismaster, how in blue blazes do you get a group together? It seems like it'd be a huge job.
Well, that's why you try to figure out what sort of game you want and kind of where you think you want to at least start. If one person's wanting to play something that's from the far south, and somebody else is wanting to play something from the far north, you might say, well, how committed are you to those? That might dictate how they get together and the story we have to follow to have them together.
Mm, the Xandir duelist looks interesting.
Uh-huh.
They're very swashbuckly.
This definitely falls into the swashbuckler category, if that's what our society. Why are you on the ship? I'm here to skewer your friends and foes alike. Well, I would say, what do we need for party balance? But
indeed,
that is not the nature of the game. that's actually a pretty easy one to grasp. Well, what I like is they actually have a little wizardry on top of their swordsmanship.
Right.
So you could play it several ways.
we do fifth edition, and you could either make him concentrate on swordsman, or you could have him do both wizardry and swordsmanship.
Let's go and run with that.
You don't have to nail it down definitely now, right? Since
What I would like to do, if you guys don't mind being inflicted by it, is actually go through 5th edition character generation. Yeah, I feel like I'm at the tail end of this parade.
I haven't made any characters. John hasn't made any characters. It's all really in this nebulous sort of what kind of game would we like to play, and we have some ideas. You're pretty much up to speed.
Okay. Yeah. Well, in that case, dudes, I'm bringing along a swashbuckler, possibly with a little magic. Deal.
In that case, I'm tempted to maybe change to one of the more hideous races, just for fun. Because I think that's part of the flavor.
I posted this in the chat last time for the others, so yeah. Well, maybe I should put it in the forum. These are sort of summary of 5th edition character creation for kind of a mid-level type campaign. And we could either go higher or lower or whatever your guys are looking for.
I'm just now reading the 5th edition description of the Xander. Oh, okay, so they do have some marine heritage. They got fishing villages and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, they're by the sea.
Yeah. They have a coastline.
And a big lake. There we go. Which I suppose opens up into the ocean, so maybe it's part of it.
Oh, I see. So our rival nation is the Amish.
Not Amish.
Well, they're actually like Amanians, but they're like drab and conservative and wear colorless smocks, and the Xandir do not.
They're more anything goes.
Anything and anyone.
The idea of a whole society of leches and philanderers, it's like, yeah, I can subscribe to that. Yeah, but the problem with the Xandir is, like, you can't be, like, exiled for excessive hedonism. Most likely you'd probably be some kind of hero.
Sure you can be. You just piss off the wrong other Xandir, and then you're,
Exactly. It's more like anything goes as long as you have the money or power to get away with it. But if you don't, and you piss off somebody who does, it could go bad for you.
Or if you lose your money and power.
Yeah.
Disenfranchised Xander is a possibility. Or it could also be one that's just simply going like, yeah, done everyone, done everything. need to move on, find greener pastures.
I haven't done an Imbrian yet.
That would be terrible. What's in that little black book anyway? Oh, it's just a checklist. Okay, paradoxy as a doctrine.
It's just the polar opposite of the uniform, single-note religion of the neighboring country, right? Because they know the truth, and that's the only truth. And Xander, like, whoa, we're mystified by everything, and there's no, one truth.
So they embrace paradox?
Life's a mystery, so you go out and go through all the paths and see what's out there.
I like the fact that fashion is a skill.
Oh, right. I was going to ask. It seems like the invocation bit in the magic, that seems to be more of a religious thing and not so much a magician thing. So if I would want that, I should rather go with an acolyte instead of a magician.
Yes. What is the flavor of how you access magic?
I don't know how things are supposed to work, but I think it's generally more fun if you're the button pusher, right? So you don't actually have any power. You have to appease the person who plugs your button in. So, when you want to push the button and blow stuff up or do something else, you have to keep the electrician or the dude in power happy. And that was the fun bit that I figured would be hilarious, with especially like a fire spirit who would maybe require you to immolate people or burn yourself or something like that as part of appeasing it. And also that it would be temperamental, that, you know, maybe I do something and then it's like, I really don't dig what you did now. I'm going to give you an ongoing minus 10 to everything you do because I'm not going to listen to you or something like that. I think that would be hilarious. It's more interesting to me anyway than you know, hey, fireball.
Yeah.
And it seemed that that was the invocation type magic, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was thinking maybe in that case, instead of being a conventional magician, I'd go with like some tiny little cult somewhere who's into fire.
Fire. Lord Flame.
Yes.
And you were talking about Xandir as well. Obviously, anything goes there, so that could be, hey, this is what we've found has worked for us.
Indeed. I think... that would work. But at the same time, if Todd's going to play a Xandir, I kind of want to branch out and bring in some other element of the setting, right? And maybe some other thing.
Well, there's also, like, if you're looking for a more morally ambiguous race, there's the Farad, or in the GM guide. Now, most of they say Acolyte Avir, which is the god of luck, but they would certainly be a type that, if they found some other way to power, would probably be interested in it.
All right, I'm going to go over to GM's bit then. GM's guide. The golden god Avar, okay? They preach the attainment of wealth by any means. That's great. No, that's my religion. Can't suppress me.
That's right.
To be pragmatic by nature, wizards. Okay, let instance arcane arts sit about you to further desire for wealth and power. Power! Yes. All right. I guess we're going back to the desert fire type stuff.
Well, they also have a coastline, so.
True. That will make for an interesting contrast with the Xandir. Since I'm going to be saturnine and power hungry, and it's just going to be yay.
How much fun is this adventure going to be? Fun is not in the equation.
It depends entirely on the guerdon, on the price, the reward. Yes, if there's money or power in it. Yes, excellent. They like to indulge in fine foods and shun simple fare as peasant fodder. All right, I guess this is going in the right direction.
Yeah, that's sort of what you were originally thinking, right?
Yes, it's true. That's true. Must have just missed it because it was in the GM's bit. Some of the same sense of dress, clearly. Sashes.
Yeah.
Velvet boots, ornate tassels, brilliant.
See, we have things in common.
Yeah, that's true. Fashion.
I believe you need more velvet.
This seems lovely. Excellent. Priest Avar and Acolyte Avar, okay. But I guess, you know, if you're up for maybe twisting it a little and maybe inventing a little known fire spirit or something.
Yeah. You know, most of the religions and stuff aren't so detailed that you can't weave your own ideas into them.
You know, it could be fun if I think it's Avar. Like it's the golden god, right? It's the golden god of the flame who's talking to me. He lives in the gleam of gold and yes.
Brings the light and the font of wealth and power.
Yes. that definitely works.
Well, for some reason, I've got Swashbuckler on the brain, so we're going to go with an urban duelist magician.
Cool.
Though his specialty is not magic. He just has magic as a backup.
So you have your force push and your stuff like that.
Or bleed less or whatever. We haven't gotten that far. I'm just wondering, should I do anything to improve my will, or should I keep it abysmal?
I guess it depends on what it's used for.
Well, most of the things willpower is used for in other games.
Then you should totally leave it where it is and follow your...
choose magic that's not based upon willpower.
I think we have a magic rating, actually, so... Yeah.
Well, I decided to go with combat rating instead of magic rating. Okay, I think we're going to just throw that in charisma because we're going to be Errol Flynn. I assume ranks work more or less in the same way that attributes do, where you have plus one, plus two, and they add to your action roll.
Yeah, and you'll end up with skill rating being the combination of your skill level plus the appropriate attribute. So when you're in character creation, the number of ranks you use to set the initial level you're at in a skill.
The list of skills that come with the race, those are freebies that we already have?
Correct.
Okay. Now, I noticed that, like, languages had no plus or minus. Well, so that's...
See, native means plus 10.
Ah.
Yeah, they don't explicitly say that. It's one of the many editing errors in 5th edition.
So, Talisman is the common of the game?
Yes. And how well people who know low and high communicated is sort of open for whatever makes fun for the game.
High is mainly a nasal accent.
I guess I should ask, do other races have, like, fashion in their race, or is that just a Zandiran thing?
Other races have fashion, yes.
Okay.
I don't, so you can imagine I'm tastelessly, draped in all these sashes and boots and tassels and fringes and beads and...
Quantity is its own quality.
Depending on which... what background and things. You can always pick fashion as a skill and pick which particular flavor of it you want.
Well, I probably shouldn't have it myself. I should have a fashion person to point it out to me that I pay for. We have to pick lots of these weird skills. We can have bizarre encounters with strange merchants. Or just to open up lines of communication with otherwise hostile people.
We may not be able to talk to each other, but we can appreciate sashes.
We can exchange sashes. I don't even get low talisman as a basic thing with the farad.
Yes, well, you don't talk to those type of people.
I can see how that goes. Would you please tell the sailors to move the sail to provide more space?
Oh, that's my favorite bit in the original like Dragon Age Origins. When you play a dwarven noble, you have this second who's with you at all times, and there are these like boot-licking merchants who are like, "Oh, invest in my store," and you can just like, "Gorim, why are these people talking to me? Beat that person up." It's like. Yes.
Yeah, and I could see, somebody talking to you in low talisman, and maybe you could understand them, but you just don't bother to understand them because.
Of course not. They're peasant fodder.
Yeah. Why would I even try to figure out what that weird slurring he's saying is?
I'll just dig into my pockets, find the lowest denomination of coin I have, and just throw it in the general direction.
Throw it in the gutter so he'll jump over there where he belongs.
Yes! Yes! Oh, right! I was supposed to pick someone hideous. I forgot about that. But I guess Flint Grey Skin is decently, talisman ish. Stony visages, narrow eyes, okay. Close enough.
Well, when I'm looking at quirks, I guess I'm looking at the positive quirks. What do we have in the way of negative quirks, or is it just something that can be winged?
Page 281.
And you're also, if you come up with something of your own that sounds interesting, it's perfectly reasonable.
All right, because when you take a... oftentimes when it says take a quirk, you can take an extra or something if you take a negative one.
Yeah, if you take a negative quirk, it reduces the cost of the other positive quirk.
Ah, driving goal, more wealth. more power. Okay, so I'm basically playing a Talislanta dwarf.
Without some of the other dwarfy.
Of course.
They're more on more effete, I think, than the average dwarf.
Right.
I just found the perfect negative quirk. Flightless.
Yeah, that would not be appropriate to your...
right. Okay, fine.
By some physical accident to birth defect, that should be delusion flightless. That is your name. It's like, I can't fly. You could never fly, you moron.
Yeah, I think that would go under derangement.
I'm so aware of the character's insanity, but often be ill at ease around him.
You know the flame speaks to me, right? It tells me about wills and glory. We must sail south. No, we must not.
Enemy would play quite nicely into why I'm not in Xandir. But it could also be something like compulsion. Well, what's your problem? I've got a small gambling problem.
All right, and you have to make a will roll to
which is bad for the Xandir.
You hear the telltale clink of dice.
Yes, and I'm sure our Farad would in no way take advantage of that.
So, Mr. GM type, which would you rather have, a gambling compulsion or an enemy house in Xandir? Or is the answer both?
I can work with either of those, whichever sounds fun for you to play with.
Both of them do, and both of them would be reasons for not being in Xandir, because, you know, that whole gambling compulsion thing, it's like, well, they value wealth and power, and I gambled all mine away. So I'm out seeking new wealth and power to gamble away.
Maybe your enemies are those of your own house because you lost all the money from your family's money.
A negative quirk makes a positive quirk cheaper, right?
Correct.
Would it be a terrible choice for me to be a practicing or former slaver?
For a Farad? No.
I didn't see it in the regular stuff, in the like player's guide, but it's in the GM bit, and it was under their, as you say, under their list of like approved paths. Because I don't imagine the character being terribly versed in this like art of evoking or invoking the being who may or may not be Eivor. I figured you should probably have a basic source of income and an excuse to go out into the world and maybe interact with those Imrian types and everyone else.
Find new markets.
Right.
You know, we don't want to go too far into unpleasant territory, though.
I mean, I could have it as a, you know, that's his background. And then he started seeing this entity and started going in different directions, maybe. I don't know. But it would maybe make for some, you know, fun flavor stuff. There are so many wonderfully questionable stuff in this game.
Nice. Xandir sportsmanship.
You only now saw that. Okay.
It's at the end.
It takes me a while to get there. Yeah, I just might be a bag of quirks if this keeps going.
Not spend any of your ranks on skills, spend it all on quirks.
Sounds brilliant. Just don't pick too many so it's just a chore to figure out which to hit.
Or you have so many, you kind of start to conflict.
Right.
I am unattractive and attractive. So when I see something like weapons, then parentheses, large blades, small blades, those are separate skills?
Yes.
Okay, so I just don't say weapons plus +5.
Yeah, you pick a okey-doke. General category of weapons.
That would be combat rating.
Yeah, you have a skill in a certain weapon group, and then, yeah, you add your combat rating to that for your total.
Okay. This is actually going along pretty well.
It really isn't that involved once you, you know, get into it. Of course, I'm going to have to figure out the whole invocation domains and what kind of modes I have a bonus and negative stuff in, which is fun. I mean, it's good.
Every spell cast has a chance of backfire horrendously in unexpected ways. That seems like an awfully short career.
When you cast a spell, you know, you roll your d20, you add your modifier to that, and then you have a critical success, full success, partial success, failure, or mishap. If it's, you know, you're trying to cast a spell at a really high level and you roll poorly, you can go negative, and yeah, it can have a mishap. But that's part of the fun, you know. You're like, oh, I would really want to try to make this a really big spell. And
I have plenty of skill ranks, which I have squandered. I'm an attractive, well-read gambler with a flashy sword. But I'm not the best swordsman nor the best magician, which is exactly where I want to be. Mode. What is mode besides any?
That is a way to use your magic, like conjuration mode, or attack mode, ward mode.
Okay, so and you can have multiple modes, so you can be like more skilled at attacking and not so much at summoning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to avoid the summoning tree. That looks pretty hazardous.
Don't worry, I'll take care of that.
And divination does not seem like something that would go hand in hand with being a bad gambler. Unless, of course, I'm a bad diviner. But the card said I was sure to win. Oh, no, wait, no, the card said that was a low-value flush. Ah, no, duration is too short. Because I say illusion would allow you to create some awesome fashion, but only for 1 minute. So,
well, you cast it at higher level, it lasts longer.
Is magic instantaneous, or is it take an action? Can you increase the difficulty to change how fast it casts? How does that work?
Generally, it takes at least an action, unless it's like pre-prepared, triggered sort of thing. And it can take longer if you're like reading it from a book or something.
So it sounds very flexible.
And the way it's normally played is you can just do one per round. But I've heard other people apply the multi-action thing to it and say they like lots of spells flying around. So if you take the multi-action penalty, you can cast more than one round. Depends on what kind of game we want.
Huh. Ward is also good. Like I could see ward and move as both being good modes.
As a neophyte magician, you're probably not going to have enough ranks to be very good at more than a couple modes.
Which, fortunately, is exactly where I want to be. I don't want to be, you know, this great hairy mage. I want to have a couple of tricks. Okay. Now, order. Is this like elementals or?
Yeah, it's how you tap into magic. You know, wizardry is kind of the flashy wizard type thing.
Yeah.
Then there's elemental, which is basically tapping into the elements. The invocation, which is from some supernatural being. The ones that are
necromancer. Yeah, that's where we need to go.
The most likely is probably wizardry for a Xandir swords mage. But if you're more interested in one of the others, we can probably work that as well.
Wizardry. It's just I don't want to be standard hocus pocus wizard that sits there and goes through the long arcane rant and bibbidi boppity boo, and then magic happens. I was hoping to more call upon magic as a talent than as a skill.
That works with wizardry.
Okay, so wizards in this game just are manipulators of magical energies, or?
Yeah, in the text here, compared to the more esoteric arts such as witchcraft or cryptomancy, wizardry is a relatively simple order of magic to learn and use.
Okay, I guess wizardry it is, then.
It also says it taps into the flow of arcane energy that surrounds Talislanta, so that it sounds like exactly what you're talking about.
Wizardry it is, then.
So here's the question. When you have multiple life paths, how do you handle starting equipment? Do you go with the last life path?
You add them together.
Okay.
Take one life path twice, then you just add the money and not the other.
Okay.
And assume, you gained all this when you were the neophyte magician, and you gained all this when you were a duelist.
Yeah. So I'm guessing the D20 slaves is something we will push off to somewhere in the past.
Oh, as part of your equipment?
Yes. if you're a Faron slaver, well, then you get
depends on how we set up the campaign and the adventure, I guess.
Might be part of your crew.
True. True. I guess we'll talk that up under maybe.
Maybe they're well cared for it, slaves.
You can at least have one who's kind of like your valet or whatever.
Oh, and the tall, bald, brawny one with the big scar who carries things and strangles people.
Okay. I've actually got pretty significant progress going on here.
Excellent.
Which is kind of surprising.
Okay, the slaver does get a one weapon type.
The whip!
I didn't mean to make him this horrible, but since you asked for it. Sling, spring, flails, right.
Yeah, I don't know that we want to make somebody whipping and abusing a slave as part of our...
I wasn't necessarily thinking slaves, but, not in the weapon department anyway. But the funny thing is, it works so well. They go together, don't they? And then, he can stand there in his little cabin of profusion and sort of practice lash at things. Ah, then again...
Target for me, Jeeves.
Wear
the glove this time, sir.
So, do you combine like the starting equipment from the race as well as the...
Yeah.
I love how it says elaborate headdress, voluminous robes, broad sashes, velvet boots, all hung with ornate tassels, fringes, and collared beads.
Woohoo! Yeah, that's because you're the stealth character, right?
Right.
It would be ridiculous to have tassels just on your turban and not your boots and your robes.
Oh, the women get a ring on each finger.
Oh, man. Don't you feel gypped now? Well, we're assuming that you're a guy.
That's what I was going for, yes. It would be maybe a little too much, fetishism, danger warning, if I went with the whole whip slaver woman thing.
Spellbook. Yes, I'm actually to the point where I'm looking up spells.
You create your own spells.
Interesting. I'm assuming that there's some type of insidious balancing mechanism.
Well, there are guidelines.
Guidelines.
Yes.
Oh, this is very Vancian. It's like Sasan's fiery moats.
Coming up with whatever colorful, inventive spell you want to think, and then we can figure out how to make it work mechanically.
So is magic mana-based, or is it so many castings per day?
There are different ways we can work this. The baseline is depending on your will, which your guy doesn't have a lot of will. So he gets one. He can cast one per day with no penalties, and then each subsequent one, you add a -1 to the roll. And if you get a critical success, then it doesn't count against that. Now, if we want more magic, we reduce that to, as long as you get a full success, it doesn't count against the incurring penalty.
I guess I should learn more about paradoxy, just in case.
I don't know if there's a whole lot to know. Yeah.
That might be part of the paradox.
When their holy book is 100,000 questions and no answers.
Right, right.
I actually can subscribe to that. Anywho, actually, I think I've, like I said, made significant progress in here.
You have. Tons.
I have my skills spent, my quirks allocated. I just need to write up my spells for the spell book, maybe spend some of that lovely cash I've acquired, and I'm good. So woohoo! Oh, and probably write this up and put it on the forum site at right. one point. So
I'll do the same.
The dashing Xandir.
Yes.
More psyched about Talos Lanta, less intimidated.
Good. Cool. Excellent.
Well, actually, I'm still intimidated, just not as much. Because what I've seen so far is actually, you know, typos aside, it's been fairly well balanced and easy to follow. It's not nearly as Byzantine as I thought it was going to be.
No, it's really not a complicated system.
It's more the culture is bad. I mean,
it's just the world is different than you're used to. Yeah. It's not your traditional high fantasy. So if you're thinking, well, I want to be a elven wizard, well, you have to come up with something else.
I'm remembering what a horrible shit this person is. It's great. Wonderful.
Do you have a journey for this character pictured? I mean,
I think my notion was to have a character that was a moneybags and had reason to go about the seas trading and getting into trouble, chiefly by being supremely unsuited or unprepared for all the possible situations he might be in, so we'll have to call on the, you know, the deity of the god. And then meanwhile, you know, while he's not doing that, he'll have to prepare for that by pleasing him or it or them. This strange Avar god benefactor. Yeah, I guess it's, I think I just made him it with the notion that you should have plenty of it's for screwing him over. Like, he can't read. That's something someone else does for him. He's not great at his modes, so he'll have to do the entity's bidding for bonuses, for favors. The only thing he's really got going for him is that he's rich.
You're kind of leaving the come lay down the railroad tracks here to pull my character along, if I don't know.
Okay, I see what you mean. If you want there to be like a goal or a reason, then he's a typical Faron, right? He wants power. So any deal that gets him power or acclaim or influence, that's a good thing. That's something he'll go for.
So it seems like it could be a lot of railroading in that your god says you should do this.
Well, okay. I mean, maybe you shouldn't look at it from that angle, but maybe there should be something that I need, right? There's a need, like the ship needs to be fixed, or like it could start that way, or I need to seal a deal with these fish people, and then I might call on Avar to get a line for how to do that most efficaciously, and he might be, oh, sure, I'll tell you, but for that, I needed to do this and this and this and that. And I don't know, maybe that's better for a campaign that's more stationary, perhaps, where you have to deal with the consequences of what you're doing in a longer stretch. So another way of looking at it is, if there's any hint of a powerful object or a hint at making money, right, he's going to jump on that. So that's your hook, right?
Right. That's part of it is, you know, I'm looking to do this in a more finite set of sessions rather than meandering along, so that if I pull a little hard on something to try to get the plot on the rails.
Since it is finite, like you say, I think you shouldn't worry too much about maybe saying, you know, this is the red line or the little breadcrumb line of breadcrumbs.
And
that's fine, as long as we're upfront about it, right?
That's what I'm trying to do here.
Okay.
Are you looking to have Zumul have the opportunity to either improve in his character or get worse, or?
Well, the idea is to amass power, so he wants to improve. My personal notion is let's see where this goes. It might go horribly awry, and that might amuse me, but if that doesn't work within the framework of this more straightforward, you know, I can always attempt to limit my fiery whims a little.
I think you should fan the flames.
If you had an idea of how you were thinking it would go, I could put in things to help it go one way or the other. Or at least put opportunities for it to go one way or the other.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's designed to either fail or have to appease the entity to succeed. So it's kind of a deal with the devil kind of thing, which I don't see going anywhere particularly good personally, but like I'll be fine. If he lives, great. If he dies, that's fine too. If he lives horribly scarred and burned, that's also, you know, juicy.
All right. Well, your quirk flashbacks. I'm trying to get an idea of what triggers them. And
oh, slavers, mostly.
Boy.
Ropes are a good trigger for them.
Slavers. Oh, you're on a ship, so there are ropes everywhere.
No, I meant like ropes around her wrists and ankles and stuff. If anyone ties her up.
Tied up, okay.
Being bound.
Manacles.
Having your freedom taken away.
Okay.
Seeing whips or manacles, would that be bad?
Whips, yes. Manacles, only if they're put around her.
Slaver jargon, would that be a trigger?
Yeah, it would.
Zamul is a slaver, so he's the guy who's hired you to transport him.
Yeah, she's going to have nightmares most of the ride.
Okay, and I think
that's great.
An enemy, I think we should narrow that down to the Imrian who captured you, rather than make, I mean, you can have a general dislike, but we should.
I'll just trade that, or change that right to enemy just Doran. In other words, this is going to be a very hard ride.
Yeah, I might regret hiring you. Say, this is a fine ship. Whoa, what was with the manacles?
Especially since he probably demanded that the largest cabin, which was would have been the captain's cabin, so you've gotten kicked out of your cabin.
I don't think she minds that too much.
Well, that's good. Then we have a working relationship. I get the finest things, and you do what you're told.
I just elaborated on phobia spiders.
Putting a phobia of spiders on your character, that means it's likely to show up at some time.
Yes, I know, I know. I am realizing that as long as you don't describe mandibles, I'll be fine.
Okay.
No mandibles. I'm watching you.
Gittering legs and stuff, that's fine.
Yes, just no eyes, no mandibles.
Okay.
Okay, code of conduct, night vision, and sixth sense.
Code of conduct, that's, well, the Gao have a thing about, you know, don't steal from another Gao Din, don't reveal the secret, how to get into the place, or something else. And it can be kind of, they have a general, you know, they're swashbuckling pirates rather than kill everybody pirates, so.
Yeah, no, Vana's not a kill everybody type person.
Put that in whatever word you want. The code of conduct your character is going to adhere to.
Might be good for like a reminder if you need to roleplay stuff. If I'm like putting you in a situation where it would go against what you believe.
Okay. A couple of her own codes of conduct are going in here too.
Sure. Looks like we've got you pretty much sorted.
Okie doke.
Yeah, I think most of us are sort of finished.
So when start off, it's going to be you, Zamul, and Valentine aboard Vanna's ship on your way to a trade meeting in Quan. So, well, that could be something we could establish. Zamul, you're going this trade mission.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is to make deals, so you're not necessarily loading up all your goods right now, but, you know, maybe you take something to ingratiate yourself with them, or...
Oh, I need every pick-me-up I can get. Oh, yeah, unless there's some peculiar, like, something hanging over me, like, you know, I need to get this contract or whatever we're going to negotiate. I'll be in really poor state.
Your family probably has been on you because you've been all about this weird cult thing about, oh, Avar and the flames and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Should be concentrating more on business. So you probably do need to bring this in.
All right. Well, see, I'm going to have to look at him again. What's my will? I have a decent will. I think. Maybe I would resist it a little. Then again, I'm an addict, so, yeah. It's sort of writing itself in this case. I mean, I think it's going to happen unless, of course, Gives is the perfect, and by perfect, I mean bastard, hiding my stash. That would be like the typical butler thing to do. And then we would have to like salvage the wreckage of Samuel in order to get the deal happening.
When he thinks you should be coherent, he probably tries to make sure you are.
Oh, I have to say that I love the idea that he's loyal, but it would be fun if he's loyal to the family first. Right? So well,
I would say I have plenty of ideas for him if you
Awesome.
As for my part, I'm basically sailing my master's dragon bark out, I guess, out to meet this person.
Well, no, you I think you have been given this duty of the wife of the satrap of Southern Quan. There's these songbirds on this one island that she wants, and she doesn't, you know, trust anybody to pick out the right one. So you're on this yacht sailing her out there to with some of her servants and stuff to go pick up these songbirds.
Ooh, so somewhere in the far seas we're going then? Or is it close to Sun Ra Bay?
A bit south of Sun Ra Bay, because the island where this meeting is taking place is just off the coast south of Sun Ra Bay. And you're going to some other islands a little farther south. They've had problems along their southern border, the jungles and swamps there, so they're looking to do a lot of engineering and draining of swamps and putting in roads to deal with the Chana who they've been fighting with. So if you could maybe make a sale of like a bunch of mud men to do the work for them, and your family's got a bunch of mud men they're looking to move.
Ah. Well, they, you know, they can do what they wish in their lands, of course, or in the Chana lands, of course. But, you know, so long as they want our mud men, I'm happy. I'm sure Vana will be terribly unhappy, of course, being part of this, the whole slaving thing.
Yeah, just a bit.
But, you know, you've had some trouble, Vana, because, you know, you were captured for a while and you had that dastardly second in command who decided it was his ship now, and the crew was divided when you came back, and you had to fight to get your ship back, and he spent all the treasure you'd accumulated, so you're... Your ship kind of needs some repairs, so Zamul was paying well, and you need the money, so...
I see the scene now coming into the dockyard, and it's that scene from the first Star Wars movie where she goes, "It's a pile of junk."
Kinda, yeah.
But oh well, if it takes us there.
Well,
maybe it was the only ship willing to go through those waters or something.
Well, and we had an idea of that when she had been captured, the Imrene was going to sell her to somebody, and she didn't know who, and we had some idea it might have been you.
Right, right.
So maybe you're hiring her ship because you have some sort of furry fascination.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, when you semi-regularly do mind-altering stuff, I'm sure a little fur is not the weirdest thing you experienced. So should I maybe make the V20 slaves like mudmen samples that I have with me as a sort of like, you know, this is what we have on offer?
I don't know how many you'd want to actually bring.
Well, I could bring fewer. It's just, you know, it was that like GM's discretion 1D20 slaves that I get from the slaver life path.
Yeah, if you want to say you're bringing, you know, some sample, that's okay.
That seems like a thing that he would do, right? If he had some on hand.
That could be your gift. Well, have these. You can see how great workers they are in the muck in the swamps and jungles.
Right. Also, I'm forgetting that the Farad can be, you know, disgustingly ingratiating in the, you know, generous when they think they're going to get a reward.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, that might be the offering, right? Like, look at these wonderful samples. We have many more. And, you know, take these. These are for free. Of course. Yes. Now, sign here. I'm just really hoping that we'll have some slaves with maybe, you know, some escape plans and it'll all go horribly awry.
Don't worry. I'm sure things will go horribly awry.
They usually do. Now, we're just going to play this game and we're going to have a calm, sensible discussion and a business deal and everything is going to go smoothly and then we'll sail in different directions and that will be that. It'll be a wonderful, not exciting game at all. Cool. So
just curious, what do mud men and mud women look like? Because Google's failing me.
Kind of like four-footed anthropomorphic frogs. They have.
Okay, yeah, Google failed me hard. I have nothing like that. So, frog people. Okay, so you're not going to use any of your slaves to seduce them. Okay, good to know.
Not in a base way. I'm going to seduce them with the promise of possible work done. It's like selling a four-wheel drive vehicle over, you know, a cross-country vehicle to someone who lives in a swamp, right? It's just sort of what they are. In a horrible, like, business transaction sort of way. It would be so interesting to know what the rest of you think about this whole slaving business, because to Samuel, this is like his everyday work. He doesn't even reflect on it. It's the way, it is what he does. Clearly, Vana is not super comfortable with it, but it's interesting to see what's Valentine's takeaway.
Looking in the book, and there says mud people or the Morgwan.
That's their actual name, and they're kind of referred to as the mud men. Yeah, they got four legs, and then torso and two arms.
Oh, so they're like a centaur then, sort of.
Yeah, sort of a frog centaur kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, looking at the picture. Instead of being, you know, the upright body at the front of the body, it's actually in the middle.
Oh, joy. Yeah, I see.
Yeah,
they also have a tail. You missed a limb there.
They'll be perfect in the swamps.
We'll do a little scene since Wilhelm's not here yet before we actually was going to do this a flashback, but
scene's good.
With Vana, sometime when you're out sailing on this mission for a few days, Wilhelm's character's his sort of valet butler guy. When you're alone there, maybe at the wheel, he comes up to you and says, "Captain, I would like to discuss a possible opportunity with you to make a little extra money."
I'm listening.
"I am interested in having something smuggled out of Quan?
I'm no stranger to smuggling, but it would depend on if it's worth my time and my effort.
Indeed, I will happily pay you 200 gold, 100 now, and 100 when we are safely back in Tarn.
Well, I can't agree on the price unless I know what it is.
I would prefer to leave that until the time. What you don't know, you cannot divulge. Not that I distrust you. I would like this to be completely between us. Master Zamul needs know nothing of this.
Let me tell you what. 150 now. 50 to buy my silence. And you got yourself a deal.
He reaches into his robe, pulls out a bag of coins, and hands it to you. It is an honor to do business with you, good captain.
I will warn you. If this thing harms any of my boys...
Oh, there's no danger of that.
Good. Because if there does seem to be a danger, you and your crew and your master will be off this ship faster than you could turn your heads. Do I make myself clear?
Certainly, Captain. As always.
Good.
Bows and leaves you alone. All right. Do we have Wilhelm yet?
Yes, more or less.
Real short window here with Ari, so gonna get right to it. All right, so where would you guys normally be on Vaan's ship, generally when you're sailing along here on your trip?
For Samul?
For all of you.
All of us. Well, I can't speak for all of them, I guess, unless we're all in the same place, unless we're all quartered in the same place or something. But that would be silly. Like, I should have my own cabin, obviously.
Yes, of course you do.
Since I'm the boss.
You kicked the captain out of her cabin because you had to have the best.
Oh, great. Well, in that case, I'm hiding there because I'm probably feeling the effects of not having all my choice morsels of Katala and other stuff. You know, since a certain somebody forgot to pack them.
You got your drugs, man.
So, yeah, I'm probably hiding... and trying to, not make a fool of myself. That would be bad.
And Valentine, where do you usually hang?
Probably the opposite end of the ship, at the bow.
All right.
That's the most dramatic part of the ship.
All right. I'm the king of the world.
And is Vana usually at the wheel, or?
No, she has a helmsman that does that, but... Currently, she's stalking around, and I do mean stalking in the most literal term, checking out her her newest accoutrements to the ship. She's probably somewhere near the bow at the moment.
All right. So, as you're rounding the southern end of the small island off the coast, you at the bow are the first to see two ships coming generally towards you, generally southward. From the other end of the island, one of them is like a small, you can recognize it, it looks like it's probably a Quan ship. The other one, larger, black sails, and, you know, there's not a skull and crossbones, but there are skulls and skeletons all festooned about the ship, so it's obviously a Mangar Corsair ship.
Do I know these people?
Yeah.
Or this ship? Do I know this ship?
This particular ship, probably not.
Okay, I don't know this ship. Well, always a good chance to strike up a deal.
Well, it seems they are probably running down this smaller Quan ship. And of course on the
Quan ship... Throw things overboard!
Yeah, on the Quan ship is Sook.
Yelling, throw things overboard! Quickly, quickly, we gotta lose weight! Throw that pelican off! We don't need that!
I'm gonna sail on over there, or I'm gonna tell my helmsman to...
Yeah,
turn course.
Yeah, right now they're about 90 degrees to you coming the other direction.
Oh, okay. Then
east-ish.
I'm going to turn the ship so we'll end up being alongside them. Or I'm going to have it turned. I don't do any of that nasty steering myself. I mean, I could, but why bother?
How much bigger and nastier is this Corsair compared to our vessel?
It's a bit bigger.
Is that a wise move, Captain?
Are you questioning my judgment?
No, I'm offering a second chance to think about it.
Then what would you do?
I just smile.
That's what I thought. Set a course for intercept.
All right, Captain. All right.
First officer, we got another pirate ship coming off our starboard.
I think we got more than black going on here. Come on.
So I guess well, Sook, what are you doing? These pirates are faster than you, so.
Faster than me, but, all right. I see another pirate ship heading toward me. Right. Hard to starboard. Straight at another ship.
All right.
Really hope you're not planning on ramming the Ebon Fox, just saying.
No, I'm not planning to ram it.
The Quan ship looks almost like it's heading directly for you. And the Mangar ship is catching up with the Quan ship. You can see it's starting to shoot crossbow and ballista fire at it. Your crew's like, all right. So, Captain, do we prepare for our battle with the Mangars? Or are we running?
I'd rather negotiate, but yes, prepare for battle.
You can't negotiate with Mangar Corsairs.
I'm going to give the order to slow down a bit, see where this is going.
Slow down is more, okay. He's making an easier target for you, Sook.
Ah, so the Mangar ship is to my port, correct?
Yes.
And they're, and now I'm more or less headed straight for them.
You're headed straight for the other...
Pirate ship.
Other pirate ship.
Yeah. I go back there and take over the wheel, and I start, and I wait until about, I would say, the last second, then go hard to starboard to go around the other ship.
Oh, jeez. All right. You're trying to get the two pirate ships to hit each other, is what I
think. Yes. Oh, yes. So that definitely is a pirate piling roll. So I got a plus +4 of that.
Okay. And I assume you're seeing this coming, Vanna. And
oh, yes. I definitely see this coming, and I'm dodging.
Excellent. We got PvP already. That is Sook. We'll be making piloting roll, and it'll be opposed by your piloting, and you'll get the aid of the Mangar Corsair, because they don't want to hit you. All right, so let's see. You'll be rolling, Sook, and you can add your piloting, and yep. We'll subtract. We have Vana's piloting.
So I'll make my roll now, then.
Which is?
12. I succeed in doing what I'm doing, but we'll see how bad.
She's got crazy piloting because she's...
Yeah, I have plus +9. Or she has plus +9, yeah.
Yeah, so that's minus -9. Yeah, so fortunately for all those on all the other ships, as you're coming by, they are able to... which side of the...
I was going on their port side.
All right, so Vanna, where do you want to position yourself as these two ships are going to be going past you? You want to be outside of the Corsair ship or in between the Corsair and the...
I'll be on the outside of the Corsair ship. That seems like a safer place to be.
All right. As they're coming, you're able to turn and swing out, and they don't run into you, fortunately. It does at least bides the Quan ship a little time as the Corsairs have had to be concerned about not running into Vana's ship.
And I didn't run into you either, so that's a good thing too. So I'm staying hard to starboard, but I'm making a circle. I'm heading back. I'm going to try to come alongside that other ship.
You want to spin about to...
Yeah, well, making a circle. You know, basically making a right turn. You know, this thing turns like a semi. All right. All the while, I can hear from the aft cabin, "Oh my dear, what's going on?"
Does anybody on Vana's ship want to do anything while this is going on? I'll take that as a no.
No,
I'm just looking at real quick. See, range touch, so that can't help. Just because it might be fun. How close did the Corsair pass to us?
Isn't it still alongside us?
You know, you're going opposite direction, so it's going to sail on by.
Yeah, okay.
But is it like 100 feet away, 50 feet away? Are we trading barnacles?
How close were you willing to get to it there, Vanna? You're the...
About 50 feet.
There you go.
Well, it just so happens my spell range is 50 feet. Thank you.
Should I said 75?
Because I have a sense of humor, I have a spell called Dietz Bug Bomb, which has a 5-foot radius and a range of 50 feet. It only does 1 point of damage, but that just might be enough to pop some rigging or generally create some confusion. And I'm looking to disadvantage the Corsair more than actually try to sink it with a bug bomb.
All right.
Now, of course...
God damn you.
What? You know, if it turns out that they only can turn left or turn right, yeah, that puts them at a disadvantage, right?
Yeah, but I kind of was hoping to make them allies, but go ahead.
Well, you didn't ask. I thought you were trying to ram them.
All right, then cast your spell.
Okay.
Come on, 20.
You can cast it at a higher level to do more damage if you would like.
I'm already at a -2, so no. I think we just want to like pop some of the rigging and maybe cause some sails to sit there and just have a large hole in them or something along those lines. Not even actually attacking the crew itself. Never mind. No.
Yeah.
Too complicated of a spell.
There's a bit of a poof and a bit of ruffling of sails. It didn't seem to have a real significant effect on them.
So they slowed down, and I'm going as fast as I can.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to come alongside. I'm ordering the crew, get the grappling hook ready. We're going to latch onto them. They're going to tow us.
You want to latch onto Vanna's ship?
Yep, with our grappling hooks.
All right. Let's see.
I was just going to ask if there was a bad lurch or something to this maneuvering, but now I know what's going to, you know, stir Samuel from his torpor. Go ahead.
Yes, I got a sinking feeling about this.
So would that be a command then for me to get them to do that, right?
I think we're doing piloting.
All right.
I'll see if Vanna's, he's trying attempting to
come along
aside you. Are you going to allow that?
Do they look dangerous to me?
Not particularly. No, the Corsair ship is far more dangerous than this little yacht.
I mean, it has gold frills. It has lace curtains. No, we're not dangerous.
How far away are we from the other ship? I mean, I'm assuming it's sailing by at a fairly quick rate.
Yeah, it's passed and it's turning about as in its pursuit of this little Quan ship.
Oh, if they want this ship, then that's a bargaining chip. Yeah, let them come aboard.
So let's see if we can pull alongside without ramming you. What's that again? Table mishap table. Partial success. Okay. Yeah, we trade barnacles.
That means you're, you know, it's taking you a little longer to swing about. And
she's just going a little bit faster than us.
Yeah, so the Mangar ship has been able to swing about, and now it's pulling alongside you.
Oh, I'm going to desperately try to, you know, dodge all the way in the floating pig. So another piloting roll, I guess. Oh, God. Well, we succeed in dodging, but they probably got a line on us.
Actually, yeah, you don't, because their piloting is good enough to bring that down to a failure.
Ah!
So as they're trying to come alongside your ship, Vanna, you see the Mangar have closed beside the Quan ship, yeah, and they're starting to throw grapples over to the side and grapple onto it.
Am I close enough to shout at them?
If you want to be sure.
Okay, I think we've probably closed from 75 feet to something like 30 or 40, because my ship is fast enough for that. I'm going to try to pick out who looks to be the captain of this ship.
Which ship?
The Mangars.
There's one guy who seems to be yelling and pointing at people, so probably him.
And I'm going to yell at him, and my tail is like bottle brush because I'm like freaked out at the moment. Oi! What's the big idea?
They seem rather fixed on capturing this Quan ship, and they're pointing ballistas at you, but otherwise not paying a whole lot of attention to you, seeing if you're going to interfere with them. Otherwise, they're not.
I just want to know what's going on. I'm not interfering.
What's going on is obviously these are pirates, and they're going to go take this ship and probably kill everybody on board and carry off whatever loot they can.
Is the ship bigger than mine?
There's, yeah.
Albana, the rules of acquisition say that you should let the manga kill everyone, and then you attack the manga when they're
weak. I'm thinking about that, actually.
Well, I'm yelling, Kazu, Kaizen, protect the mistress!
Yeah, they're stationed there in front of the cabin.
Chewing nails, spitting at you.
Yeah, I'm grabbing.
Get us out of here, you idiot!
They got scrappled. I'm grabbing an axe, and I'm running over, and I'm starting to chop at the bottom of the other ship.
Which one looks more profitable?
Obviously
the one that looks more profitable is the one that's covered in gold.
The other one, it's covered in skeletons and remains of other beings that they've killed.
Yeah, no, that's not profitable at all. I'm going to shout to my crew, prepare to board.
I hear her yelling up there going, we'll pay you triple where they're offering!
That does it for me. My tail actually starts wagging at that, even though I'm not paying a lot of attention.
Since they're paying you nothing right now, I mean...
Jeeves is probably rousing Zamul. Sir, there seems to be pirates outside. There may be some danger.
Oh, what a nuisance. Why can't you just deal with the pirates like all the other times?
Do you want me to offer to pay them off?
Pay them off? Don't have the funds for that. And I'm in a deficit already. We need to. Oh, get me something to drink, and I'll go out and survey the situation.
Right away, sir.
I just imagine him being a more drunk Harry Mudd.
Someone's probably like extra ashen. And all sweaty, and like he's not wearing his full regalia because it's just awful being in withdrawal. He's going to freshen up as best he can and then, you know, go out and see what's going on.
You didn't bring enough of your stash, or are you saving it till you get there?
I think we came to a conclusion that probably Jeeves had an idea that it's probably not good for the family to have a completely baked out of his dome Samul doing trade negotiations. So, like, he has probably manipulated the situation to the family's benefit or his own benefit. I don't know. But, yeah, somebody, quote-unquote, forgot to pack the necessary stuff.
And the stuff you carry in your person, you already toked away.
Oh, yeah.
And Valentine.
I suppose one should prepare for battle. I'm imagining this, and this may be wrong, but we kind of got like a yacht sandwich going on with the...
Looks that way.
Okay, we're on one side, the Corsairs are on the other, and we're probably going to meet in the middle, so...
Yeah, and the Corsairs are on the yacht's port side, and you guys are on the yacht's starboard side.
Yeah, and the yacht's already pulled alongside of the Corsair.
Yes.
And you see this plucky Sunra with an axe busy chopping at the hull.
On your yacht, you know, you've got maybe half a dozen crew and...
Of which probably three or four have already dived over the side and said, bye!
No, I don't think...
Well, I think we've been hastily contracted to provide defense, so I guess I'll join the boarding party.
Can I stop him?
He's probably not telling you what he's doing. He's just doing it. That's Valentine.
He's just grabbing a line and swinging across.
I guess I'm going to board too. And Slasher is... I'm going to call Slasher. So he'll be on my shoulder when I get over there.
All right.
Well, that's right. That's your pet dragon.
Oh.
What?
Whatever it is.
Nighthawk.
It's a nighthawk. It's nighthawk with blades on its wings. It's
obsidian sharp. Well, first we'll deal with Sook on the yacht. So the Corsairs thrown over grappling lines, pulled the side, and you can see them massing to board.
Actually, I'm better off cutting the lines with an axe than I am trying to cut the black wood hull of their ship. So I'm going to start cutting lines as fast as I can with the axe. So that'd be what, a dex test?
Yeah, that'd work.
All right, which is just a straight D20. Oh, what happened?
Yeah. Yeah, so you go charging over there with your axe, and a crossbow bolt smacks it dead in the haft, and it flies out of your hands.
And now I'm contemplating going for a swim. Except I'm honor-bound to protect the mistress. So it's like, okay, I grab my cutlass, and I'm just ready for whatever happens.
All right, so, Vanna, your crew, you're like, all right, so we go attack the Corsairs, or what? What's the plan here, Captain?
Well, the plan, my boys, is have fun. No survivors.
All right, Captain.
You are the worst captain ever.
The fishmen and the Quans as well, or?
No, take them aboard. I have a feeling they're going to be worth something to us.
All right. All right.
Watch yourselves out there.
Cue the Captain Blood music.
We'll make a general sort of mass combat roll, but we'll have each of you, your characters, tell me what you're doing in this big battle individually, and if you succeed, then it'll be, you know, bonuses to the big combat roll.
Yeah, well, I know that I'm not a good swordsman that Kazu and Kaishin are, so I'm going to rush to them and basically order them to defend the mistress, and I stand behind them. So I'm using my command skill. I'm saying my two what the hell are they? Again, I can't remember. Kang, my two pet Kang. Well, not my pet Kang, the two Kang. They actually wouldn't mind stepping aside and letting me get skewered.
Yeah,
defend the mistress.
I think you should do something else, because commanding them to defend the mistress, they're going to do that.
All right.
You need to do something more interesting. You can deal with do something with the rest of the crew, or
I'm going to order them to. We're not fighters. We're sailors. You know, abandon ship. But I'll stay on board, so I'm just telling them, get off, save yourselves. I'll stay here and defend the mistress.
We're so aquatic. So valiant.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that Kazu probably would not abandon ship at this point. Just saying.
No. I'm not telling them. I'm telling the Sunra to abandon ship.
Oh, okay.
We're aquatic.
That's not something that's going to materially affect the fight.
So my weapon.
Yeah, so if you just want to say you're...
Yeah, I got my cutlass out. I'm fighting.
So, yeah, you can... Roll that and
see what I get.
See how successful it is, and describe what you're.
Oh my God, 21!
Tell us what daring do you do in the fight.
As the Magnars come down, they're basically. I'm taking a tip of hat. I have the low ground, and I can basically just go up there and skewer them as they come on down with my cutlass. You know, stabbing upwards and skewering them as they try to come on down to the deck, doing my best to hamstring them and otherwise, you know, be a general nuisance, so that the Kang have easier targets to fight against when they try to storm the cabin.
Okay, then who wants to describe what they're doing next?
Can I have a quick location check on Valentine, Dirk?
Well, then let's go Valentine. Valentine, what are you doing?
I'm going to bring up my arrow shield and rush forward because, I make a much better pincushion than these guys do. And I am totally impressed with the captain's sword play against the Corsair boarders. And I would enjoy fighting side by side with such a man of skill.
Man?
Thing. Whatever.
Dude, call her that to her face. You'll get a taste for swordplay, all right.
No, wrong captain.
Sook. Oh.
Yeah.
Sook. The other captain.
The other man thing.
Anyway, so first, my primary thing, though, is getting the arrow shield up because, those incoming crossbow bolts will ruin your day.
All right. So roll the... Okay, you've cast one spells, and you didn't do it successfully.
Yeah.
So you're at -1 on this roll.
That makes me a 15 then.
So that's still a full success.
Huzzah! I'm more or less arrow-proof for the time being, or the next minute. Long enough, hopefully, to turn the tide.
Okay, so you can describe your attack there as you... How do you swing over, leap over, what?
I guess the first question is, how close are we to the yacht? Are we gunwale to gunwale of rubbing against each other where I can vault over?
That's what I understand that Vaughn has wanted.
In that case, I'll vault over, run across the deck of the yacht, slide up next to the captain, little starry shield doing its best to protect me from incoming arrows. I like the cut of your jib there. And it's...
Duck!
I'm on my sword and just start saying, ha, 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 ha! And some of that, too!
Let's have you make an attack roll to see how successful you are at fighting pirates.
Okay. Do. So that's MR.
Large blades.
No, this would be your, yeah.
Large blades. Oh, much better. Okay, yes. 20. Rick?
We're just two whirling dervishes of blades down there.
Zamul, you've probably staggered up onto the deck by now.
Oh.
That's noise.
The noise and the sunlight and yeah, everything is just horrible. And I'm sure it's sort of glittering off the great big mirror that is the ocean. So I'm just sort of staggering out, squinting at what's going on. And I'm trying to take in the situation, like, where is everyone? What's happening? What have they done now?
Jeeves is kind of giving you the those, sir, I believe our Mangar Corsairs, they're attempting to attack this this Quan ship, and the captain has commanded the crew to go kill all the Mangars.
Oh, yes, yes, of course. I can see that. I knew that already.
Of course, sir.
I can see we're already engaged, so, you know, make it so. Go help them. No, stay back. I will... no. And then I probably see, like, the vessel between the pirate ships and all the gold.
The Quan ship is definitely a ship of wealth.
And, like, you know, my eyes go wide and I'm like, protect that vessel! I'm sheathing my curved dagger and I'm rushing down to the other ship. Like,
you have to cover the gunwale. Go over the gun walls and climb down the boarding rope and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's going to take a long time.
Yeah. Jeeves will go, Trog, help the master. So he, like, pick you up and carefully lower you down onto the... Are you doing anything that might actually mechanically help in this battle?
Not in this... exchange, I think. I think I'm busy doing, like, realizing stuff.
Okay.
Trog, help, master.
So, Vanna, anything you want to do individually to maybe set up something that will help in the overall combat here?
What is the layout of men on this ship? Like, are most of them below deck or most of them above deck?
You've assembled them to go attack, so they've been swarming.
No, the other ship.
The other ship? Well, you don't know whether there's anybody below, but there's a mass of them that are jumping onto the Quan ship. They've thrown over their grapples and pulled it close, so now they're jumping over, or swinging over onto the yacht.
I'm going to kind of make a sweeping gesture to half my boys and go, protect that ship! Rest of you, with me! And, start, I guess, taking people out and commanding my Nighthawk to take people out. Lots of blood and guts and lovely things everywhere.
Jumping over into battle with, what, your halberd or whatever you use?
I actually use a crossbow, so I'm going to find a place to stand, or to crouch, rather, that I can get a good shot. All at right.
You saw the captain.
Captain of this vessel.
Not the moist one that with the gray green skin. The other guy up
the
other ship.
Yeah, the other captain. I don't want to shoot the captain of the Quan ship. No,
yeah, the other. Yeah,
the one big, with the large hat.
Big scarred guy. No, he doesn't have a hat.
Ah,
these guys. He does have a hook hand though.
Okay, is that the Dread Pirate Lefty?
Your crossbow shot there would be d20 plus 5.
Plus 5, you say?
Looking at your sheet, that's what you have for crossbow, yes.
Yeah.
Well, it hits, but not very well.
With his skills, you fire and it strikes into the gun wall right next to him and snaps and looks,
got his attention.
Kill the stupid cow if they're going to interfere. So now we'll do a mass combat roll. Let's see, you've got... you can use your command. can add your command. I'll let you add your tactics into that. Plus 6 for the efforts of your two heroic characters. So you're at plus 11 so far. And then we'll subtract out their abilities. But yeah, just roll a d20 plus 11.
Okie doke.
18, not bad.
That's a full success. So far, you are beating them back. If you want to describe what that looks like, you can, or...
I'll let you.
Okay, so they send their first wave of men over the side, and Sook and Valentine are rather impressively cutting them down. A couple of arrows just ping off Valentine as though he was protected by a magic shield.
Exactly. It even goes thunk when activated.
A couple come up towards try to rush towards the Kang, which...
Suicide.
Yeah, they get cut down. Your crew leaps over, swinging down, and a lot of them landing on top of the Mangar and toppling them to the ground and sinking their swords in them. You put a couple crossbow bolts in a couple who tried to run across over onto your ship when Zamul is lowered onto the deck and Trog jumps down and squashes the one guy who is coming up to stab Zamul.
Trog protects Zamul.
Javez comes up behind Vana, is going to do make sure and protect Master Zamul. He is paying for your services. All right, so let's do another turn. You guys currently have the advantage.
So now for some really bad dice rolls. Well, I do my best to fight off the... and that's its partial success. Oh, slipping in the blood.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So, Valentine, you want to describe what you're doing here?
Well, we're going to recast the arrow shield because that's important.
Well, it hasn't been long enough, I don't think, to...
Well, it only lasts a minute. So I imagine, if each sally is...
It's probably not been quite that long.
Maybe, wow. Okay.
Maybe been 30 seconds.
Fast and furious. In that case, we'll continue with our sword play. Of course, let's see what we get here. Ah, terrible roll. This is kind of slipping there, old man.
Yeah, I think against most of them, that's still going to be a full success. Okay, Zamul, what do you want to do? You're now on the deck of the Quan ship.
Against all better witting, I think I'm going to make a fiery display, to put the fear of Avar in people.
Yes, they should.
So I'm going to... Yes. So I'm going to invoke his holy name and clothe myself in his fiery vestments. That's the idea, anyway. Base difficulty is minus 10.
You're using fire magic on a ship made of wood.
It's not a great idea.
Oh, yeah. Mind you, I'm a little addled-brained right now, so that's how it is. And that is a ward. What's my ward skill? Plus 3. So I'm at minus 7. I'm sure this will go very well.
It'll go blazingly.
Yes. And of course, I'm invoking Avar in the sense of, help me drive these heathens from my acquisitions. Stuff like that. The prayer is really just like, it's more like a business petition than it is a holy...
For the usual tithing of 10%.
Well, Avar may, or whoever, may come and give you a little boost here.
All right.
Say a plus 3.
Okay. So minus 4. Because we do want a little bit of failure possibility. Oh, that's 11.
Full success, so...
Yes!
Describe what that looks like.
Out of nowhere, after his, tirade about, his little business dealing with the Avar in this sort of weird business / ecclesiastic language, this fire springs up from his feet and rushes up his legs and up his body and around his limbs, and he's cloaked in this swirling inferno that is a hazard to anyone and everyone near him.
No, get off my ship!
But mechanically, it works. It works like a 20 hit points of protection, which will go away the more people hack at it.
All right. So there's
bonus points for intimidation. So it's like, who wants to wrestle with a flaming dude?
Bonus points for bad idea, maybe?
You should definitely walk over to the Mangar ship and give it a bear hug.
Then, Vana.
Yes.
What do you want to be doing in this? Sniping again or doing something else? Or?
I could try to snipe. I could send my hawk.
Could you do both?
That's a good question. Can I do both?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to send my hawk to tear out the eyes of...
Nothing personal.
Someone who is close to me. And I'm going to try to snipe at the Corsair captain again.
All right.
Because he's obviously not paying attention to me. There's a flaming person on his...
On my ship.
on that ship. Oh, what do I roll for the hawk?
Probably like plus two.
Okay, so two rolls then. Okay, well, I missed that. And for the hawk, you said 1d20 plus three?
Two.
All right, so...
I suck at fighting.
Yeah, when you're getting ready to shoot, just about as you're pulling it, what was the name of the
hawk? Slasher.
Slasher. Slasher happens to fly right in your line of shot, so you pull up and your shot goes wild.
And scares Slasher.
Yeah, and Slasher dives to avoid the bolt. So, all right. So now make a combat roll. You didn't get as much help from those two, but you get a little more help from the Zamul this time. So you've got your plus five from your command and tactics. And we'll say you're at plus 10 this time.
Four.
You're commanding your troops. This is how the overall battle's going.
Okay. After this roll, can I start heading back over towards Zamul?
If you want to jump onto the Quan ship, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of do. 1d20 plus 10 then.
Respectable.
You don't surprise them as ferociously as you did previous round, but you've somewhat stemmed the tide of their wave onto the yacht. As your men are beating them back. The ones who made the rush on the Kang have died, and the others are not looking to advance on them, so the Kang throw a couple daggers into ones that aren't brave enough to face them. The rest of your men have managed to cut a couple of the grappling lines between the Quan Yat and the Mangar ship.
This is why I love my boys.
All right, you want to jump over onto the yacht?
Yep.
All right. Anybody want to describe anything they're doing this round?
Well, I'm standing up and I'm moving back toward to the cabin where the mistress... What is the mistress's name, Annie, by the way?
Sharmina.
Sharmina. And I'm telling my newfound friend, you, sir, come with me. We must protect the mistress, Sharmina. You know, basically, because also that means we're going to be near the Kang, so we might be able to do a pincushion between the two of us. You know, I'm not going to go right up to them. I basically leave a space between so we can, you know, get pirates between us and the Kang.
And you can see the door is cracked and somebody's been peeking out watching this battle.
Mistress, go back in there and with your servants and stay safe.
All right, so you want to...
Yeah, another fighting roll. 21! Whee! Between me and the Kang, we're chewing up pirates.
Describe your daring do here.
I'm busy guarding, pairing, and then moving around so they go right into the Kang. And the Kang just sort of chew them up like a Vegematic.
All right. Valentine.
I have an audience.
Yes.
So we're going to add acrobatics to our sword fighting.
She looks pretty for someone who weighs 300 pounds.
It doesn't matter. So it's like,
someone is watching.
Yes. So all I see is an eyeball. So we'll do, of course, the usual sword play, but if we can add a little dash to it, huzzah.
Oh, and your shield's gone down too now.
Ah, okay. How much multitasking can I do here? Because it's hard to be dramatic while punctured.
Well,
I am actually a battle mage. I can do this. I'm a trained professional.
So you're at your third spell. You were successful, though, for that one. So you're still just at minus one.
Okay. Well, here's the arrow shield. Ah! Oh, well, one cannot always do a clever roll and hop while casting magic.
You've got something, but it kind of fades in and out.
Well, it might be good for one hit, but hey, I wouldn't bank on it for more. Want to throw down some acrobatics? Yeah, not too flashy. Too much blood on the deck.
All right.
And I actually am trying to hurt someone with a sword. I've had better performances.
All right, but that's all good stuff here. So you describe your daring do there.
Because these Corsairs are such slackers, I guess I'm going to have to take the battle to them. So I'm going to actually step up on the wall of the yacht and fight them while they're crossing on the ropes.
So you send
a spectacle out of myself.
And a target.
An arrow hits you, but fortunately your shield caught that one, but you think it's gone now. You send one of the advancing Corsairs into the water.
Ha! Well, if I know Sukra's crew, which I don't, I'm sure he's doomed.
Then Vana, what are you doing?
If it's possible, I'd like to land on the roof of the cabin. I've seen what these ships look like. They have like that little raised cabin thing. I'd like to land on the roof and make my way down inside that cabin.
Of the yacht or of the Corsair?
Of the yacht.
To get into the cabin, you'd have to get past the Kang, who have been so far been good at cutting down anybody who came close.
And as you look over, you see that right now the captain of the ship is busy feeding pirates to them.
Can I?
Sneaky?
I could be sneaky. I could be a bit sneaky.
There is a nice big distraction known as a pirate battle going on.
Yeah, there is. I'm going to use that distraction and try to sneak into the cabin.
Maybe you can try to sneak in a window or something, I suppose.
Yeah.
There's windows in the sides.
Like, I'm not going in the front door. I'm going to like go in one of the side windows or the back window or something. I have stealthy.
Don't have the skill stealth, but you naturally have stealthy, so you got a +3, and there is a battle going on, so we'll say everything's a wash between whether or not the Mangar see you and shoot at you, or the Kang happen to notice and try to stop you. So roll your d20 +3.
Would it be a dex roll or just a straight d20?
Yeah, it'd be d20 plus dex and your +3, so it's +6 overall.
That pushes it to 11.
You're successfully able to shimmy into this luxurious cabin. There's
lots of silk.
Yes, there's there's four or so female
handmaidens.
Yeah, mandolin servants. They're dressed in fine silks, and there's a ridiculously berobed with all this fancy silks and embroidery and the jewels woman who's peeking out the door of the cabin watching what's going on.
Miss, I would suggest you step away from there.
But now let's do a big main battle roll. Now, Zamul, we didn't do Zamul. What's Zamul doing?
I guess he's leaping behind the lines or at people and you know, shouting things like, kill them all of them, and send them to Avar's Pyre, and rushing back and forth and attempting to be intimidating.
Like I said, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
More sad than scary, but, well, yeah.
Do you have intimidation?
He's on fire. That's coerce. Something.
I have coerce. Is that something?
You're threatening physical violence, so I guess you could use that in this.
I mean, I want to inspire them to run away, I guess. Or my crew to kill them, the pirates, anyway.
Same difference.
So you can either be coercing the Mangar or inspiring.
You know what? I guess I'm right behind my own men burning. So I guess it's more like I'm coercing them. Like, holy shit! Someone burning behind me. So yeah, let's coerce Vana's crew, I guess.
Kill the Mangar or you will burn.
Yes. So let's see. I think that's +3. 12.
All right. So that's a full success. They are definitely do not want to go near you in the fire.
I have to consider that the next time I need to give a motivational speech.
Lighting yourself on fire.
Yes, no, I wouldn't light myself on fire. The fire would be coming from behind the people. Saying, that's you in the back row. It says, like, I'm turning on the gas now.
All right, then. So
now the big roll.
Yeah, I think with Zamul's help this time.
And my crit.
5 from your base, and I think you're at 12.
12, okay.
Ooh.
All right, this is going to be enough where you're going to win this battle. So you guys want to describe what you're doing here?
Well, I guess I'll go first. I'll be going first. The pirates from the other ship are driving off the pirates from the Mangar ship. At this point, I'm sort of like staying guarding the cabin, knowing, keeping the pirates from getting inside.
Aren't you going to be in first surprise?
And I Which one was friendlier to me again? It wasn't Kazu. It was...
Neither one are particularly friendly.
No. One was friendlier to me. It was Kaishin was friendlier to me.
I think Kazu was more friendly.
Yeah, Kazu was.
Kazu?
What? I
think we may be captured by another set of pirates.
If he could facepalm while still holding a sword, he would.
We may have to negotiate this one. At least they haven't gotten to the mistress yet. And that's my bit.
All right, Valentine.
With a flourish and a salute, I cut the last grappling rope between the corsairs and us.
Yeah, but right. Leaving our ship, my ship, grappled to your ship. Okay,
of course. Yes. So we claim this prize, and you know, it says good fight. So they get a salute, but they're not getting on board.
All right, Zamul.
The vestments only really last about a minute, so
your fires.
Yeah, they go out, and you know, obviously, since we're winning, Samuel is simply hanging back a little, watching Trog maybe crushing another one.
Trog smash!
You've done a good job of smashing ones that got close to you, or if you missed one, then your fiery vestments were able to prevent you from taking harm.
Cool.
All right, then, Vana.
One question, are there any nice, pretty, like, necklaces or anything sitting on her boudoir?
Yes.
I'm going to take one.
All right.
And she's going to go, consider this payment, and I'll be taking one of you three later. She's talking to the...
The handmaidens, yeah.
Yes, the handmaidens. She is very much bisexual and finds them very attractive.
Oh, great. We got a predator.
In more than one sense of the word, yes. And she's just going to listen for the sounds of battle to die down and open up the door and kind of just stride out like she owns the place.
The Mangar, the ones that are left on their ship, are pulling up the sails, and they're taking off. They're going to quit the fight. Mm. Captain cursing, waving his hook at you.
I'm going to just smile and wave back.
Somebody made a friend.
Bye. And I'm wearing, obviously, the most expensive necklace this lady owns.
You! And I point my colors at you. Did you harm the mistress?
She could tell you for herself whether or not I harmed her.
Mistress, are you okay?
You find that her eyes seem to linger mostly on Valentine. She goes, oh, that was a most exciting fight. I've never seen anything like that before.
Yeah, satisfied. Okay. You, I am Sukra of the, no, I forgot Sunra. My master's name.
You're a son of the Quan Empire?
Yeah, but what's my master's name, though?
Ardashir is the...
I'm a captain of Ardashir, the satrap for blah, 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 blah.
Southern Quan.
We were taking his wife to get some birds.
Yeah, you're on your way back from that when you were attacked.
Are the birds okay? Oh, no, I'm the only person on the ship myself. Me and the rest of the crew is gone.
The rest of the crew is climbing back on board since you...
Check the birds, make sure they're okay. We spent a good week getting those... Lovely birds.
Yes, Captain. Yes.
So, how much blood money do we owe you?
That remains to be seen, but if you would like a ride back to wherever you're heading, I'm willing to offer you one as long as you don't mind if we make a little side trip first.
I sort of stop and I turn and I see the Farad. Oh, wait. I should be talking to this person. I turn around and start walking towards Zamul.
She's growling. You can't see it, but she's growling. Hey!
Sir, thank you for the rescue. I did not know the Farad made use of pirates.
So what, a servant has come up to me with a sword?
No. I'm the captain of the ship. I am Sukrad, captain of the ship.
He probably looks decent because he was captain for this ship.
Ah, okay.
Oh, yes. I am wearing my mandolin silk cloth robes for this.
She's going to stalk up behind him while they're talking.
I'm squinting at you with my ashen face and taking in, appraising your dress.
Jivez will step forward. This is Zamul of the house
of Murath. Right.
Murath. Your beneficent savior from the clutches of those vile corsairs.
I sheathe my cutlass and I give him a proper bow. Thank you. Aquas praise you for your timely intervention. They have been chasing after us for several hours, and if you hadn't come across us, we surely would have been raided and sunk and all hands lost, and the mistress probably would be held for ransom. It would have been...
I kind of feel like I should do a vampire hiss at you when you say Aquas. Polar opposite.
But, well, are you speaking to him in Talislan or in Quan?
Oh, in Talislan. Okay. And
he's not real great at Talislan, so it's possible, you don't quite catch that he's invoking another god.
All right, cool.
How good are you in Talislan?
He's completely fluent. You aren't.
Ah.
Furthermore, I'm used to having, a more flowery vocabulary, and mm-hmm. you're probably using the rougher seafaring.
No, I'm using High Talislan.
Are you? Cool.
Yes, I'm +3 in it, which is...
So you're putting on airs. That's so adorable.
Yes, besides, if I anyone was speaking a proper highfalutin language, I would speak in Quan. Speaking of which, I say in Quan, all right, folks, keep an eye on these pirates. We need to make sure that everything's okay. I'm negotiating our release back to you in High Tales Land. Me speaking to you, okay?
So I'm leaning over to Jives, and I'm going, did that servant say his name was Sucker?
Sukra, I believe, sir.
Ah, well, tell this Sukra that we are happy to provide the service of saving all their skins. And, of course, we expect ample compensation from whoever owns this delightful and flourish vessel.
That's...
Yes?
No, she's just clearing her throat behind him.
I'm being... purposely oblivious to the captain behind me because obviously she's not in charge.
Okay, question. How many other people on this ship speak Sea Nomad?
Not me.
So it's just me and my crew?
Yeah.
I'm going to say in Sea Nomad, rob them blind, don't hurt anyone. That is my order.
Your crew is looking a little warily at the...
Toucan.
At the Toucan who they saw just murder anything that came close to them. So they're a little loath to go towards them in the cabin where they know is the big wealth. Okay, we'll check the hull, Captain.
You do that. Don't come near the Kang.
It's full of birds!
Steal those annoying things they were talking about. Don't hurt them. We'll ransom them.
Yeah, one of them comes up holding the bird cage, with some little... chirping, singing birds.
I'm probably looking at it very hungrily.
Not much meat on them, Captain.
Those are the singing birds of wherever the hell that island is, and they are a rarity. They only breathe in that island, and they are known throughout for their lovely song. I'm saying this in High Talislantan,
right?
Which I don't understand.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't. I have low Talislantan. I don't have high.
They're close enough that you can understand him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Shakespearean English and Cockney, that sort of thing.
You're right.
I would like to mock Zamul here.
What?
Just a bit of a mockery. Just a little bit of mockery.
Welcome.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
I'm not going to.
Burned.
She's got her arms crossed and she's like, well, Captain, where should we go to next, Captain?
Jivezel kind of whisper to them, well, we were going to this trade negotiation with the Quan. This could go well for us, our saving of the satrap's wife.
I like the way you speak.
So there's a moment of like Clint Eastwood deliberation in squinty deliberation in someone's face. Then he points to whoever's carrying birds out and going, you there, put that down immediately or I'll have you thrown overboard.
Glances over at Vana.
Put it back where you got it. We don't want to make them angry.
From here on out, we are serving as vessel's protectors. And we will be paid handsomely in turn. Of this I will make sure.
Yes, the satrap will gladly reward you for the service, oh great one.
Yes, but of course, and now suddenly Samuel is putting on this almost saccharine, too sweet, solicitating, sort of bowing, almost disgusting friendliness, right, about him. And it's like, of course, we wouldn't dream of putting too outrageous a price upon this most modest of services. It is, of course, best and our highest desire to have the satrap's favor, right? Goodwill, yes.
The Quan woman is, oh, well, thank you for your timely service. The suns are a bit harsh today. Let's retire to my cabin and have some fine wine.
I have to leave, but I'm going to have...
You are beautiful, dear mistress, you know, and someone will bow again, you know, the deepest bow he can manage, right? And, of course, he'll join her.
So, Ari.
I have to leave, but I want to have Vanna do something before I leave.
All right.
She's going to make this mistress's day. She's going to send the two most handsome of her boys to her and say, fulfill her every desire, and you will be rewarded handsomely for it.
Well, she seems to really have eyes for Valentine.
Well, Vanna's just being a good host.
Well, it sounds like a party.
she also knows full too. Well the two she's sending are gay, so that's fun. Oh. More women for her.
Okay, so we'll say, Vanna, you get your crew and go back and get your ship in order, and the two ships start sailing towards your initial intended target, because you find where this trade meeting is going on is... That's where the satrap is right now, and that's where the yacht was heading back to. Well, thanks, Ari.
No problem. Thank you for having me along on this adventure.
All right.
Absolutely.
We can continue on with some other scenes then.
I figure Valentine is like wiping the blood off his blades and sheathing them. Yeah, because we don't want the Kang to get the wrong impression.
One of them goes, you fought well, even you're using those tiny little swords.
It makes me look good.
Seems to be a lot of unnecessary jumping about, but you were very effective.
I can see where your brute force approach was also very effective, looking at the pile of bodies. I guess we leave that for the crew to clean up.
Yes, yes. So, get your crew on that. Get these bodies out of here.
Well... I am sure the captain of this yacht can handle that.
Yes, that's that other guy. He was fighting next to you there. That's Sun Ra.
Ah, what's his name?
Sook.
Rather simple. I suppose that works. I am Valentine, the dashing.
And I'm back.
Sook, get your crew to clean up this mess.
That's the satrap or?
That's the Kang.
The Kang.
The warriors are talking here.
Yeah, I ordered the crew to basically swab the deck, you know, and get the bits and pieces off.
I'm sure what passes for sharks in the seas are just going to love you to pieces. So, I heard an invitation for wine.
Well, certainly, Mr. Valentine it was.
Yes.
One of her handmaidens will introduce her as the illustrious and majestic Charmina.
Would do that double bow with the hand flourish. Charmed to meet you. Pardon the excess blood, but it's been a busy day.
That was most impressive. I've never seen such swordsmanship.
We'll just be gently charming and say, like, as a Xandir, it is in my blood to display the best in swordsmanship.
Maybe you can tell me more about Xandir, and you'll retire to her cabin with Zamul and... Sook will probably have to work.
Sook is taking care of his ship, which is being, even though it's being towed by the other ship, it's basically someone's got to make sure we're following the other ship and not being jerked around.
If there are any flashback scenes, if anybody wanted to establish something that happened during the trip here, we can have those. I guess I had one, but I was able to get it in before we did this, before Wilhelm came on. So,
and we don't need a flashback to the island chasing the damn birds down now.
It's not so much a flashback as a cloud of visual imagery as Valentine talks about Xandir culture and how the professional duelists go and about battle magic and all that, and just generally tries to be a very charming and gracious guest.
Oh, she eats it up.
Yay!
Well, actually,
excellent fashion.
Let's see how well you do here. Do a charisma.
Yeah, are you a boar or are you enthralling?
Next question is, can I add any of my cultural skill to this, actually, since that's what I'm expounding upon?
Sure. Do you want to just do Xandir culture or, oh, you got fashion, right? Do your fashion because you're impressing her with your...
They're both plus five.
Wow. Hey, I am actually dangerous with the fashion.
Oh, yes. You totally have her rapt attention for all this, and she's completely impressed with you.
Some more of those candied dates, please.
Waves at one of the servants to provide you whatever you need.
Well, this is me tooting my own horn, so of course I'm eating this up as well. It's always good to have an appreciative audience.
So, Samuel, do you want to do anything during this trip, or did you have any flashback?
By flashback, you mean like from before we met these? Yeah, I don't know. I have a few loose ideas, but I think they involve Vana, so we'll skip them for now. Right. Yeah.
And nothing to do with the family and convincing you to go?
It's like, what is a Farad doing with pirates?
Well, I mean, it was the expedient thing to do.
And I think we'd established that he had sort of a fascination with Vana and may have once tried to buy her as a slave.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been an interesting scene again. But again, we don't have Vana, so...
Maybe later.
I guess during the trip, he's probably at first annoyed that Valentine is taking up all the mistress's time where he could spend, you know, time ingratiating himself and getting a better deal. But at the same time, she seems to be happy. And that's like, well... I guess Valentine's doing the work for me. Oh. This is exactly what I'm paying him for. So, you know, he'll just attempt to weather the withdrawal effects and occasionally, you know, speak to Avar through various ship's fires to make sure he's on the right course, right? So he's not forgetting to burn someone.
So are you staying on the yacht then? Because it's much comfier.
Well, this trip is only going to be a few hours, so half a day.
And besides, they have wine here. Yeah.
So then you guys make your trip back to the island of Paldina.
Oop, time to get the map up.
Well, it's not big enough to be on the map. But when you get close, you pass a patrolling Quan ship and signal them who you are and what you're doing, and then Sook can guide the ship.
Yeah, and we verify their signals, saying yes, we are not prisoners.
Sook can guide the ship through the reef and shoals to the island and the harbor. And as you enter the harbor, on the one side, you can see there's a obviously fortress complex with the military ships docked there. In the center of this harbor, there's a floating dock, and you can see other foreign ships moored there. And that's where your ship is led.
Cool. And I guess we pull up to the private dock for the satrap.
First, your foreigners are transferred back to their ship. And the mistress will say, Captain, why don't you accompany them? Make sure everything goes well for them. She sends you off. So sends you off with the other ship.
Yes, mistress. I turn to the first mate and I look him in the eye and say, you do not do anything to disturb the mistress. You got that?
Yes, Captain.
And I go over and get on the other ship. I guess I act as a pilot.
Yeah.
Pilot him over to the, I'm going to find the best dockage then, the best peerage.
I guess Vana's not here. There, Vana probably kind of gets silent and kind of goes rigid when she sees an Imrian ship as you pass it, it's moored there.
Noted.
There's a small boat with a couple of Angarians, probably slaves, as one's holding some sort of carcass on a pole out, and this large craw, this sort of serpent-like, eel-like thing, suddenly jumps out of the water and chomps down on that, nearly taking the poor guy's arm off. You can see that there's a chain that goes from it to the Imrian ship.
Oh.
Right.
Mm. Interesting choice in pets.
No, it's...
means of propulsion.
It's a horse-drawn wagon.
So then you pull up into the docks. You're met by essentially an Isbian customs agent, essentially.
I probably know him, so I just nod and I said, "These good folk assisted us, and I believe that I pointed some. Well, he's a trade representative from the Farad, from Faradun."
Yes, I believe they were expected. The satrap has graciously lowered the entry fee for entry into the empire to a mere 100 gold a person. How many are you bringing onto the island?
I look at Zamul and say, "I leave this up to you, good sir. My work here is done." I nod and I get off the ship.
This fee does not include goods.
No.
Excellent.
People.
So, note to self, I won't have to pay to bring the mudmen onto the island. Unless I have to pay goods tax, of course, which I'm not going to mention in case they forget.
That's probably going to be part of the negotiation.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I will absolutely, absolutely have to have Jeeves. That's not an option not to bring him. And I guess I need the rest of the players. Well, Bonna isn't here now, so I guess I can play later.
Well, you can be cheap and leave her and Valentine on the ship, too. How much are you willing to pay for your safety?
No. I need you to make eyes at the mistress, you know, and make her favorably disposed toward us, and then whisper.
You're a merchant. Why aren't you haggling this?
Getting to that. First, I want to determine how expensive this is. That's the point.
Well, you got a ship full of people who probably want to do shore leave.
That's too bad. Once I've determined that, you know, we're only going to bring a handful, I'm going to say, it is a great and generous thing that the satrap too have lowered the fee, of course, but would it not be proper to allow the saviors of the satrap's own wife a slightly lower price yet?
I have heard nothing of this. I'm sure if it's true, the satrap will reward you himself.
Am I still in earshot, or is it?
If you wanted to be.
Yeah, I'm sort of I'm on the gangplank. I sort of turn around and I go, sigh, walk over and say, "Yes, it is true. His ship rescued the mistress Sharmina. They did it admirably, and right now that's the reason why I'm here, because she wanted to make sure that this ship got here intact and no harm befell it. So if you could be within your abilities to I make the little motion of, you know, lowering the fee a smidge."
All right, so then the more you want to do some sort of haggle.
Yeah, I guess haggle. I have that somewhere.
Yeah, you haggle plus four.
Say with Suk's help, it'll be that'll be worth plus two. Because he's just a Sunra.
I still think it's pretty generous. I don't know if I would have allowed a haggle without Sukrad, giving legitimacy. But I'll take the plus two. Absolutely. No worries.
Mm-hmm. Oh!
You haven't seen what your minus is going to be.
From him.
So wow. He's
best ever.
Yeah, that is a very good roll.
It's all in how you ingratiate yourself.
Yes. Well, it's also the fact that, but we killed coursers by the dozen. How many have you killed lately?
Since you've done this great service to the Empire, I will give you your entry papers now, and if the great satrap so desires, there will be no fee for you when you leave.
Sorry. And of course, Samuel, nods and says, "None are more gracious unto heaven than you, except, of course, the satrap."
So he fills out his papers, gets people's names and such, and
cool.
Puts the papers and gives you all your interest. So for now, it's you, Jeeves, Valentine, and Vanna, or
you can say I'm not bringing Vanna because, she's busy on the ship.
Okay.
Well, I would at least include her because someone has to reprovision and get supplies, so I can see her wanting access to the port.
Notice that I'm not inclined to give Vaughn anything, and then you maybe pipe up.
Yes.
So someone will sort of begrudgingly go, yes. Vaughn, of course, as well, the captain.
She doesn't have to necessarily day with us if you think that her manner is too coarse. But we do depend upon her business.
Sound advice.
All right, then they will arrange a launch then to get you and whatever baggage you're taking with you.
And since I've got myself involved here, I will follow along with them on there so I can do the introductions.
So they take you over to the main docks of the island. You can sort of see south of the harbors where there's the obvious military fortifications. East on the high point of the island, you can see some sort of mansion complex. And you're led to the north. There's a kind of walled area, and there's these sort of guest villas, cottages, and you're led in to one of those. The general look of the area is kind of combination Mediterranean villa, Japanese garden. Everything's very kind of well manicured and tended. You're given a guest cottage, and the Isbian with you says, you can relax here and refresh yourself. Tonight there will be a reception before the negotiations begin tomorrow.
And I got to report back to the satrap. Should I make a roll to do a general assessment of Zamul?
What's your intent?
I'm basically going to report on him to the satrap. And I'll deliver my opinion of his abilities and his demeanor.
Some you know. Filthy capitalist swine.
Well, yeah, that too.
And he might be a hothead.
Basically, I'm trying to give a opinion of his general temperament and so forth, and if I can determine whether or not he's an addict or not.
To make some sort of right perception.
So I got +3 on that. So let's do a perception roll then. Nope. He's just another another fat Faradun here to do his business.
Well, I say with that, I think Zamul gets to say what perception he's left on you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, interesting. I think you get the impression that while of a stout and noble character, I may not be handling the weather, the climate, as well as some.
You're sweating like a pig.
Yeah, I'm sweating more than usual and drinking.
It's probably not much different climate than you're used to, really.
But, yeah, but does he know that?
okay.
I go to the satrap, go to Wendy and the sir. We've returned, and I believe your wife has told you what's going on in my first mate. But I spent time with the Faradun, and I give him my report, which is basically he's another fat Faradun. He's a bit sweaty. I think he likes the climate, and he's a bit opinionated about himself. But other than that, he's your typical Faradun.
Okay, and as usual, the satrap is not really even paying attention to you. One of his administrator, his being administrator, is paying attention, but he's not paying attention to you. He's getting fed and taken care of by his slaves and servants.
Yeah. He's just someone showing him all these birds. Yes, nice deer.
Yeah. I'm waiting for him to dismiss me. I mean, I just don't leave. I wait till I get dismissed.
The administrator goes, "Thank you, Captain. That will be enough."
Thank you. And I stand up and I head back to where Sooner are living out in the bay.
The quarters for you servant types, that's over back behind these trees where nobody can...
No, we're Sooner. We're living in the bay.
Well, no.
Well, I take a swim over there anyway.
It's very near the water. But over on the other side of the island where the beach isn't as nice and...
Yes, but the beach is not nice, and there's coral reefs out there which make it hard to go get in or out. So actually, we're more protected than the other places, inadvertently. So it's harder to actually make
it. So you like to tell yourself.
But it is, of course, overlooked ominously by the Kang Fortress.
Yeah, of course.
We're from Kaishan and Kasu are glaring down upon you.
Yeah, there's one scene I forgot to do, but we'll do it now. As when you're taking your leave of them, Jivez excuses himself and accompanies Sook. And while you're walking, I don't know, we need to play this whole conversation out, but on a meta level, he's feeling you out. Well, it's been many years since I have been back in the Empire. What is the current climate? How are things? And the meta thing is he's feeling out how much of a loyal citizen to the Empire you are.
He's a Mandalan.
Yeah.
Oh, I served with Mandalans before, so...
Yeah, they're sort of the lowest class servant types, and he was sold as a slave to the Moose family.
He's trying to feel me out for things and so forth. Well, I'm trying not to give me anything because...
Are you? Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying not to give me any information. As much as I dislike being a subjugated person...
Obviously, he's a slave to a foreign owner. He's not part of the Empire anymore.
Yeah, and he just wants to know how the Empire is doing. I'll try to give him an honest reporting.
The question is, how loyal are you?
The thing is, much as people want to leave and run away, my family's back in the Inland Sea, and I really don't want to leave my family. So I'm one of those situations where, yeah, I would like to be free, but I also don't want to not see my family ever again. I'm in between. I'm sort of, I want to have more personal freedom, but I also don't want to lose my family.
Might be willing to bend a law or two.
Yeah, I'm not disloyal, but I'm also not entirely loyal.
Okay.
Then I mean, we could have got those birds a lot faster.
He will say, I am interested in moving something out of Quan tonight without any of the usual red tape. Would you perhaps be able to aid in that, getting a package to our ship?
I'm walking along. I pick up a shell and look at it, you know, and say, this item, does it mind getting wet?
No, though it would not be good to have it submerged for any length of time.
Does it need to breathe?
Let's say it did.
There might be a way. Looking at the shell, you know, these things grow to large sizes, you know, almost as large enough to cover one's head. Toss it back on the ground. What's in it for me in terms of, if I get caught, I would be harshly punished.
I could see that you are rewarded with treasure, if that is what you would like.
Not for me personally, but there are people... I do have people at the Coral City. Perhaps if something were to be sent to them. Not necessarily riches, but I name a few things that... Luxury items. I mean, let's be honest. Gold's good, but, you know, spices and other things are better.
That can be certainly easily arranged, if that is what you would desire.
Guess we're haggling, aren't we? But yeah, I could do this, though. Where is this item, and do I actually have to procure it, or is it available already procured?
I will meet you with it near...
I point
out... Yeah, you can point out a good clandestine place to meet tonight.
Yeah, and also I make note of, and we're stay away from that ship, and I point to the eel-driven ship. It would not be good if we got anywhere near that.
Seems wise, sir.
So I point to a spot on the bay, suspiciously near the harbor master's cabin. I say, they patrol everything really, really stringently around here, except around there, because who would be so bold as to go past the harbor master's cabin?
All right, I will meet you there when Ardan is high in the sky.
Well, may Aquas guide you, make the appropriate, you know, motions.
And then he'll bow and thank you and head back to his master. So... You other two, is there anything you want to do before the reception this evening?
Well, Valentine would love to visit the local markets, check out the fabrics that are available, and see if he can do something with a local material, but put maybe that Xandir spin on it.
This place is not really have a market as such. It's sort
inconceivable.
Of, yeah, because it's not so much of a city as a resort / military base.
If it's a resort, there still would be people who will do you up a nice dress.
You could, yes, if you request, you could request that from the mandolins who are the general servants and gophers around here. You express an interest in that, they can certainly do something for you.
Oh, yeah. And I will give them specific directions. Just something to add a little bit of local splash and color, but still make it exotic enough to maybe be an item to comment on.
How much are you looking to spend?
That's the real grain for the grist. How much do I have to spend? No more than 5 gold. One shouldn't be overly lavish, just enough to indicate that I'm a man of discriminating taste.
We can come up with a lovely sash for you.
That sounds good. But it needs to be cut like this.
You know, you're in a boudoir that was covered in silk. You could just simply rip off some of that silk and you know, be going to town now.
Could, but I have specific goals I wish to achieve. I wish to impress with cleverness, not theft.
Sounds like a fashion roll.
Yeah, we could do that, and that could be sort of a possible, like an advantage in Fate, that if you wanted to bring that up later.
Well, I am not opposed to being fashionable when weapons are not always steel. A nice solid success. I don't think I'm going to win any fashion awards with it, but at least it brightens up the place.
It is a wonderfully mix of Xandiran fashion and what you've seen of local fashion.
Mission accomplished. I'll wear that like a badge of honor, or a sash, as the case may be.
Zamul, you want to do anything?
I think Zamul, once Jivez gets back, he will attempt to prepare himself a little for the next day or whenever the meeting is.
There's a reception tonight, and then the next day is when there's the negotiations.
Okay. Well, in that case, he'll quiz Jivez on like, what are the expectations? How should I behave? You who are from around here-ish, you who know the Quan. First for the reception, so he doesn't make any faux pas, and then a little, like, he'll ask his advice on like how to behave later in the trade negotiations. If there are anything that would really tick the Quan off that he doesn't know that he's doing, stuff like that.
He'll convey what he knows of Quan culture to you, even though he hasn't been back to the Empire in many years.
True. But still, he's the closest I got. The one I trust, right?
He is, yeah, and he's very well read.
Right.
All right. I don't know whether we want to go on without Vana or not.
This might be just a good wrap-up point, especially if you think Vana's going to stir up trouble.
Yeah. Oh, one thing I want to do is, since he says he doesn't like being underwear too long, I am going to see if I can scare up a large conch shell that could be possibly used for someone to breathe in if they need to breathe underwater for a little bit. That'd be, what, just a...
perception to...
Yeah, find something, yeah. Okay, see what I get. Oh, I find something.
Tricky -3.
I still find something. Yeah, I find a nice big conch shell that would work. Especially when I reach inside and knock out the inner chamber so there's more airspace and clean out what the previous inhabitant. So I'm ready for the night. But it probably is a good time because, yeah, we need Vana. I just kind of agree. We need Vana here because, you know, Ari may have some deviltry in mind.
Is she going to make problems for the Imrians? Like stuff like that?
Yes.
That would affect the rest of the... Yeah, I see.
Yeah.
And during the reception, the Imrian ship explodes.
Someone cuts the chain to their eels.
We'll say, as you're settling into your little guest cottage, the nearest one, you can see a Farad moving about there.
Mm. Samul can see that?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Not anyone I know, I presume.
You want to go get a good look at him? Maybe you can try.
Yeah, let's drift over there. I'll dab my face first so I don't look too put upon.
Let's do this at the random roll here. Roll culture, your Farad culture.
Okay, +6. Okay.
Partial success?
He's gray.
There's yeah, some... He's vaguely familiar. Maybe you know his family, but you want to go up to him or you just scope him out?
Is he... I mean, he's a guest in another cottage.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, why not? Let's call upon him, see what kind of brother Farad he is, if he's a vicious competitor or what's up. Absolutely.
Farad, so he's probably a vicious competitor.
Or he's a cousin, one or the other. Same thing.
Both, yeah.
Yes.
You go up, he's sitting outside smoking a pipe.
Oh, damn. I think someone was momentarily distracted by that vision and having a lot of like, oh, wish I brought that and so forth. But then, you know, he bites that down and he makes an appropriately obsequious, you know, greeting. Like, Brother Farad, great thing it is to see you here. Among these foreigners.
Stand and respond and may good opportunities befall you in this foreign land.
And you. And how do they greet? Do they shake hands or what?
Sure, why not?
All right. Someone will introduce himself in not too grand a fashion because he doesn't want to tip his hand or anything.
And he'll introduce himself as Sulamar of the House of Hazul.
Doesn't ring any bells?
You've heard of the House of Hazul. Yeah, his name in particular doesn't, but you think they deal a lot in gems, precious stones type thing, but there is some overlap into your slave trading.
There's a moment of suspicion, and then Simo will say, I hope great opportunities in the gem trade await you in this foreign land.
I certainly hope so. The The Kwan do love their gems.
I want to read him. I want to see if, like, what's my impression here? Is like, is he being sincere, or like, does he have an ulterior motive for being here?
Be your perception.
I may have to converse a little more with him, but yeah.
I think unless you've got anything else you think would be more appropriate, just be perception.
No, I think it is perception, unless it's, I mean, culture. I already have a culture info. I think, about his like family and stuff. I don't think I would get insight into him personally.
No.
So let's go with that. Four.
Gems, definitely here to sell gems.
All right, okay. I don't let anything slip myself.
That's up to you.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe he notices that I have slight withdrawal symptoms. Maybe like there's beading of sweat at the temples under the headdress or something. He can tell.
You sniff suspiciously at his smoke from his pipe.
No, nothing so obvious. Like maybe some of those narrow eyes linger a moment too long on the pipe or something, right? That could also be a thing.
Perhaps you would like a seat here in the shade. The Kwan weather doesn't seem to suit you.
Indeed, it does not. These humid winds. Thank you. And he'll sit down and make himself comfortable in the shade. Tell me, how was your crossing to Kwan?
It was not too horrible. The Xandir ship I sailed on was serviceable at best.
What kind of ship is Vana's ship? Is that a Xandir ship? No.
Yeah, of Xandir design that was commandeered by the pirates.
Yes, I know this well. I myself was forced to take lodging aboard a Xandir-made vessel, cramped quarters and low ceilings and smell.
More planning for the trip, it would have been more opportunities to get a better vessel.
Perhaps you shall have plenty of opportunity to acquire one here, good brother.
Yes, I've seen some of the Kwan ships are much more fitting for proper travel.
Shouldn't I? Yeah, I think some old goes, as for myself, of course, beyond the quartering aboard the Xandir vessel, we had the misfortune of running into certain pirates. But of course, the great and glorious Avar, whose name is Fire, graced us with a boon and allowed us to safeguard the satrap's very own wife from these pirates. And so I hope to gain much favor from this great deed.
Raises his eyebrows. You had quite an eventful trip then. You've already made contacts with the Kwan at the highest levels.
Yes, you see, the House of Murath has always been favored by Avar. I pray your house shall also gain such favor. And, you know, you can tell it's a total lie.
All right, then. Do you want to end it here?
Yeah, that's fine.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Any feedback, like how I did the combat, you know, kind of...
I want to give embodiment persona to Shivez. Maybe a hero point? I don't know.
Well, I like him, so...
actually, that's went pretty well. I mean, Todd, you remember doing mass combat and like Savage Worlds? It's like, okay, and as long as you have heroes on the one side, they will win every time.
But how will we win? Will it be with style and panache?
This here, I like this better. I like the way you did this better. I like the way you did the mass combat better. There was a lot more, I would say, back and forth, and not so much in the inevitable winning, because we definitely could have lost.
Yeah. You guys didn't fail any of the roles.
Yeah, I mean, if you had gotten any critical failures in our little helper roles, that would have been a minus.
Yeah, I guess everybody take, five experience points.
Yay, I may actually be able to buy something up.
Any other feedback you got on...
No, I think you're doing a pretty good job of running what's an old-school RPG, fairly light.
My intention is to run it a little more Fate, Apocalypse, World type.
I'm totally seeing that.
It's got a good feel to it.
Like, if we compare the engagement with Valentine and his dueling partner in the very first Talis prequel to now, it's a world of difference, right? That's, of course, partly because we were doing mass...
Yeah.
Battle stuff, but still, I think you have a lot more flow to stuff, and also in your descriptions.
Yeah, That's another thing I want to do is, since this is a totally different world, and I tend to be rather brief, if you want me to be more verbose and descriptive, you know, poke me.
Okay.
All right.
The one thing
maybe we should once in a while. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Todd.
The one thing I would ask for is the first time we introduce a new race, if we can get a description of them.
I was going to say the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. It's like these people that look like mandolins. Wait a minute.
Yeah, that's something I meant to do, and in the running, I forget.
You know, I need to do is actually find the page in the rules that actually has the picture of all the races and sort of print it out. So I just have the print on. So, oh, Benland, flop, flop, flop. There they are. Okay. Look like that.
Yeah. Flashcards. That's what we need.
Yeah.
I did put the descriptions on here on my notes. And I just didn't like the mandolins, golden skin, almond shaped eyes, placid features, slender build, shaven head. Females wear a top knot of long black hair.
See if Valentine would have known that, he might have been a lot more risque.
The Quan, they're usually pale, overweight, not terribly athletic types. Charmina, she's definitely full-figured, but not necessarily unpleasantly so.
Oh, yeah.
She's Zaftig.
The Kang, the red, they have kind of a snout to them. They're big, they have their hair pulled back in a queue, usually are a bit scarred up. The Ispians are kind of
odd. You mean the Aspasians?
Aspasians. Yeah, that's the other
however
thing.
You're supposed to say.
Yeah. Some of them, there's pronunciation guides. Some of them, there aren't. So the pronunciations will be all over the place. The Aspasians, they have kind of lemon yellow skin. They're slender, expressionless faces. They have kind of a elongated head and face, no nose. So they look a little bit like
lemons.
Aliens. Look a little bit like aliens to, you know, humanize.
Coolness. A lot more color. Yes. Literally. Yes. It's a very colorful place. I need to think less in shades.
Yes.
All right. Well, got to skedaddle. All right. Thank you all. Great session.
Awesome time. Thank you for running,
yep.
Dirk.
Yep. Thank you, Dirk.
Finally getting to do this.
Yes, after almost 2 years.
Yes.
Bye.
All right, that's what he says. It's a civilized weapon for a more civilized age. You chop people's limbs off with it.
Pain and suffering.
Yes, I may have suffered greatly by, say, taking an oath of celibacy for a whole 2 months or something.
No. I meant as an acolyte, you study pain and suffering.
Oh, right. Yes, I do, since I'm sure...
Inflicted.
Yes, right.
And not the receiving of, you know, you have other people for that.
Well, sometimes I'm sure whatever, you know, I'm sure this Avarthi deity might require penitence or something at some point, and then maybe I'll need to sear myself or something. We'll see.
I'm just imagining this. I've got slaves for that.
All right. Oh, it's like the whipping boy.
Yeah.
Yes. He'll take my penitence.
I've violated many tenets. Bring the fear in.
That's so wrong. I like it, though.
Oh, that's brilliant.
If you want to contact us, we have a Facebook page. We started a Google Plus community. There's our forums, sundayskypers.freeforums.org. There's email, sundayskypers@zoho.com. That's sundayskypers, all one word, @zoho.com. And of course, there's always telepathy.